Welcome to the Battleground Wisconsin. My name is Matt Bruskin. I'm the Deputy Director here at Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Welcome to beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Wisconsin spring weekend. Temperatures are rising. We got Robert Craig, Executive Director here at Citizen Action. As always, Robert, good to have you.
Happy spring, everyone. And let's see how the summer looks. Let's see how much spring we have or whether we're immediately into July. We'll see.
Well, it's going to be a hot weekend already, Robert. We're going to be into the 70s. I am excited. The Yankees are in town. So I'll be at the ballpark spending my money the way it should be given to the Brewers owner by attending games. But I am looking forward to getting out. Great weather this weekend. But folks, we got lots to talk about, including next week. Next week, Tuesday, Robert, we're going to be in Eau Claire. It is our fifth and final 40th anniversary event. Oh, it just seems like we were just getting started, Robert, and we're already done. Folks, next Tuesday, we're in Eau Claire, 6 p.m. The Coven, join us. It's going to be a hell of a good time. Robert, I have been badgering you every week to give us 1 minute of something very interesting about the history that people will hear if they show up.
You're sure you haven't been golden eagling me rather than badgering me?
Oh, I've been badgering you before you can jump into the transfer portal and leave the state.
You tailed that joke before I did. I was just reading Greg Gard's explanation, so everything was fine. I'm like, it's fine. Who's coming back?
Yes. For folks who don't know, yes, Robert and I are huge college basketball fans, and the Badgers have been looted by the transfer portal, something the Golden Eagles have managed to avoid. They've now gone two consecutive years here with essentially the transfer portal not existing, both on the in and outside. So two very different approaches. But you don't come here for sports. Robert, the 40th, Eau Claire next week. Hey, people, we got a DJ. Shout out Jeremy Gregert. Lockdown a DJ. Really super excited about that. We're going to have fun. The first hour, it's from 6 to 7, people, is lots of camaraderie, good food, drinking, socializing, fun. Please come on out, and then we have a great program on our history. So, Robert, the 1 minute history lesson about something very interesting you have discovered in this research you've been doing through the Wisconsin Historical Society and all our records about this 40-year history of Citizen Action.
I don't know. I may push back on the missing historical piece narrative. I guess what I'll throw out, which is top of mind, is that people don't realize when hospitals abandon whole areas, which is what just happened in the Chippewa Valley, that they're less regulated than banks, than utilities. Utilities have to, I mean, they've co-opted the system, so they get their rate increases, but they have to actually request them of the Public Service Commission. The rates are wild, wild west, and that's why they're not related to actual cost of care and why people can't afford them. They're all structured to loot, to get the highest cost services and make the most money. And then they leave everyone high and dry in what they need. They actually harm health. So our organization, in its first decade, fought their deregulation, the removal of we had a rate review commission. We had a requirement that you prove medical need to add facilities, so you couldn't just compete in a predatory way with your competitors and then use your leverage to force all of us to pay for the excess capacity. That's why you see the building cranes all the time, fancy new cancer centers, et cetera, whether they're needed or not. And then we all pay for that. And so we are moving forward, you know, what do you say, going back to yesterday to tomorrow with Jeff Smith on some bills that address that and actually take power back from the hospitals. They've proven they're nonprofits in name only. They've proven irresponsible and putting and investing it back in the people as good progressives and small D Democrats should support.
And we're going to have a lot more about that in the upcoming weeks. Very excited about it. And look, it's an agenda. It's actually a much more holistic approach to what do we really need to make sure that our communities are healthy and have health systems that are healthy and actually provide what are the priorities and what we need to have a, you know, a healthy community. And that really needs to be front and center. It's why a lot of these folks got nonprofit status in the first place, right? To provide a vital need, not to essentially use the status to set up shop like a for-profit and operate in predatory ways. But that is the system we are in. We look forward to working with leaders in this state to actually start to address that. But more later. So folks, please make sure you get out in Eau Claire next Tuesday. That is the 30th, 6 p.m. We'll see you there. Robert, before we go to break, I want to get your comments, your thoughts on an issue that you don't work on immensely here at Citizen Action, but you and I have been talking about this a lot. We've been hearing it a lot from mayors, from leaders. It was a huge issue in the Green Bay elections, and that's around the cost of housing, rents, just the overall unaffordability and hyperinflation that people have been experiencing, particularly in the rental market. And there was a report that's been getting a lot of play around the rising rents in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, in particular, being some of the highest in the nation. I think we were over 6% increase just last year alone in Milwaukee. But Wisconsin in general is also extremely high. Milwaukee just happens to sort of be the tip of the spear in that problem. But certainly the mayor of La Crosse has talked about issues with, you know, just the availability of affordable housing. And so this is both a tenant kind of question versus, you know, landlords, but also just even for home ownership. Robert, your thoughts about the news and a lot of the discussion this week around just the insane cost of rent, or as some might say, the rent's just too damn high, Robert.
Yes, Matt, there was the rent is too damn high party in Caddy, New York, which famously was spoofed on SNL. But the gentleman behind this party was correct. This is really simple. We progressives want to make every policy complicated and nuanced and all these policy elements that people don't focus on or understand. It's really very simple. We have a completely private, commodified housing system in our country, very small sector for public housing. We've been sold a bill of goods. You can't have rent control. You can't have this. You can't have that. And that we'll leave it to them and the market will work well. But then you also have in the last 50 years, a conspiracy to undermine the economic prosperity of all but the 1%. So there's a huge mismatch between the cost of housing and what most people are able to earn, especially young people, but it's people in rural areas, people in urban areas. It's a challenge. And you need to take back the system democratically. And what's interesting is the crickets on that. Virtually no one in the state of Wisconsin is even talking about solutions that would drive towards the problem. And the various, we use TIF districts, are supposed to be for disadvantaged areas to do developments in wealthy, prosperous white areas. And these developments are aimed at housing for people of the upper middle class and above variety. There's very little housing for working class folks or people who don't have a lot of income. And the only way for that to happen is for the government to step in, remove all the subsidies for the high priced, expensive housing, and only focus on housing that we need. And by the way, there's a huge opportunity here, Matt, in the climate crisis to create solar housing that's highly energy efficient. There's a plan for that in Milwaukee for energy efficient modular housing. We need to get enough money to attract a manufacturer. They require a certain guaranteed number of houses, understandably, to move and start manufacturing. So yeah, that's the closest thing I could say is the city of Milwaukee's plan for modular housing, which is energy efficient housing manufactured here in Milwaukee, which is fleshed out. They've worked on it, but we need to get it financed. Where's the papers to finance it?
It goes without saying, Robert, I see those issues as really intertwined, and it's amazing. And they ought to be working together to address these dual issues because they're interconnected. First of all, if you're in a home and you own it, you may not be able to fix it up or upkeep it or view that that's even like meant for you. So it's not even on the table. So how do you connect these things? On the renter side, before we go to break, Robert, is my understanding, particularly here in the state of Wisconsin, that there's been a lot of good work done locally by activists and stuff around rents and tenants' rights. But this state has very strong prohibitions locally in what you can actually do, and is very strong at the state level in terms of the legislature, its backing of landlords. Robert, that strikes me again as another issue just ripe for progressives and folks running for the state legislature to start talking about how there are real solutions similar to what you talked about, but even just in how about like lifting some of the restrictions on locales and experimenting with ways to try to deal with this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. We like to alert even activists who've been very involved for years. The Hospital Association is one of the most powerful lobbies in Madison. So is the real estate industry. And we would need to make, we need a lot more people involved just sitting here and saying what elect officials should do. We need to demand what was necessary. And the one thing I would say about the activism in housing historically, I'm not calling out any individual, it's been too small ball and it's assumed the limits of the system without telling people specifically what we actually need to do, which is very, very much more dramatic. But you're right. Local government's authority is largely preempted. Preemption is a tool of conservative and business domination, but this is preempted here in this state. So Milwaukee has far fewer tools than a lot of other major cities. And there's a reason for that. It's not an accident. And that power needs to be overcome. So I would like to see a lot more progress. There has been progress nationally with the idea of a homes guarantee. We're a long, long way towards getting to that. To that vision, but I think that there's a bigger kind of analysis. You're seeing a lot of media coverage that's beginning to come out of the movement, but we need to get there quickly. There needs to be a Medicare for all of housing. In other words, a direction we are going clearly and understand that we need to get there step by step.
Folks, you're listening to The Battleground Wisconsin. We're Citizen Action. You can find us at citizenaction.org. Welcome back to the Battleground Wisconsin. Good first segment there, talking about a little bit about our history, this critical fight we got coming in healthcare, super excited, and talking about the rent being too damn high and just can't afford the cost of rent.
And let me flag, Matt, we don't have time now, but we should get into the private equity firms buying up housing in Milwaukee. There was some concern about that, but it kind of fallen off the radar screen. That came out of the Obama administration bailing out the banks and not the people. And then they swooped in, these equity firms. They're probably driving a lot of this rent increase, I'm guessing. But others can let us know who work in the housing field intensively about that.
With that, I want to raise an issue, Robert, that came up this week, and that is around the new executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party. This fella sounds like a real peach. Let's just be blunt. Dude had a racist plan to, use his own words, wreak havoc on Souls to the Polls, which is a nonprofit here in Milwaukee that does voter get out the vote effort, and more broadly, it's really super deeply involved in making sure everyone has the right to vote, protecting the voting rights, and then also, you know, trying to get people out to vote. It does its work nonpartisan. And Robert, just this, I'm really glad this got the light of day, because this dude can say whatever he wants, but this just reveals what they're about. And it's not good as far as, right, like just folks understanding that what we're heading into this fall, nothing's changed. These folks they're maximalists in terms of getting power and the ways that they will go about getting it. Robert?
Yeah, I mean, this is the new anti. This is what's happened in Arizona as well, which we'll mention later. news there. And so they've created anti-democratic, I mean, these are all the incentives, right? These are the folks that are, it, that Donald Trump likes and supports, the people who are willing to do the dirty, so to speak. And these guys will do, these guys and gals will do anything. And the problem is, we're not going to be saved by some mythical swing voters being appalled. What, it's all on us, okay? People should, it's socially irresponsible to even think about not voting. I'll say that because as disappointed we are in some aspects of the United Front, that is the broad Democrat coalition, Gaza policy comes to mind, immigration policy, the alternative is such that we have no ability ever to change it. Within that Democrat coalition, if we are organized enough, if enough of us go off the sidelines, we can change this. And that's why walking away, because we're morally appalled, rightly so, by certain policies on our side. I named the undermining of public education that Governor Evers capitulated to. It's still no path the other way, okay? And this is what organizers do. They think about power. They do a power analysis. They think about where they can influence it and how they can have more power. You know, we can have more power. More folks getting involved and taking action to take back our democracy and then make it do what it needs to do ethically for everyone in America, especially those most marginalized and left out.
So I appreciate everything you had to say there. I think, and I want to remind folks, part of what's really important in order to help motivate folks is, right, we have this broader critique, right, or broader analysis that Robert just talked about what this election's about. But it's also right, and we can't forget this, especially as it relates to state level opportunities. And I want to talk about the state legislature right now because it is so important for us that I hope we don't get lost in the Trump, not Trump debate and forget that we have the most unpopular state legislature in my lifetime. The polling numbers on it are stunning. I talked about this a few months ago when the numbers first cratered for them in the Marquette poll, the last Marquette poll. The legislature dropped significantly. Its approval rating went down to 34, which is really, really low. And the disapproval's like 58, right? Which is significant. And it's been now two polls in a row where they've stayed at that number, right? And folks, Trump is not a popular dude and neither is Biden. They are wildly more popular than the state legislature. There's a lot of reasons for that, but like it's also because it has been now just over a decade of gerrymandering, total partisan gridlock, and beyond that, for what? For really hard right kind of cynical, anti kind of democratic kind of attitudes. And I want to talk about two issues that talk about just the dysfunction and why this legislature needs to be removed. One, Robert, Wisconsin has completely abandoned any effort to get serious rules on nitrate pollutions. This has been an issue now for a long time, but it's been in the DNR has been trying to deal with this for about 5 years now. Real effort to try to get a standard. Not going to happen. Instead, because the legislature refuses to actually even engage in this, has left the DNR out there to twist because they know the legislature doesn't want anything to happen. And has essentially put corporate agriculture in charge of this situation, self-controlling nitrates, which is not working. Robert, this is just, I mean, literally, they're shitting on in our water, on our land, and there's apparently nothing to be done about it because this legislature refuses to act. Robert?
Here's what it's important to notice. We need to have standards for what we expect elected officials that rely upon our votes, that we are allied with, for what they will do. I'm not saying everything is hunky-dory in Biden world. I mentioned Gaza. I mentioned immigration. I could have thrown in the absurd TikTok ban, just more China bashing, when the real solution is privacy controls for every damn social media company, whichever one owns it, because you can take over and steal an election through Facebook and X and all of those. And Elon Musk is engaged in that behavior. But look at Governor Evers. Within Biden administration, there have been major moves to reform the bureaucracy, to make them do things, right? Antitrust, climate change, a lot more on healthcare right now within the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services.
Labor.
Medicaid Services, labor for sure, and the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. Great call, Matt. And I don't know of anything. The Evers departments, and he's in his second term, have been sloth-like, have been old guard, have not moved much of anything. In fact, they're still operating in a fossil fuel kind of economy and still allied with agribusiness, which maybe their political consultants telling them this is good politics. You made a great point off air, Matt, about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coverage, which is detailed and very good. A lot of times the best way to understand something is what's not there. Yeah, in other words, there's no mention of agribusiness. It making profit from this kind of farming. It's slamming it down farmers' throats. There being fewer independent farmers anyway. So a lot of what we're seeing is agribusiness. There's not even a farmer who just is forced to
right.
use the mechanisms.
That article talks about farmers like they're, you know, you or I who's working the farm, right? And of course, a lot of those farmers want to do the right thing. They live in they drink the water, but like they work for agribusiness. Stop it. They don't run these farms. These aren't mom and pop farms. Many of them work on insane standards that they're supposed to meet for their like production. That's why they're spreading the nitrates. Damn it. And it's that idea that they can, that agribusiness will self-police. It's crazy. I'm sure there are some farmers doing amazing stuff like with the pressure on them, but this ain't going to work. We need standards.
The citizens that asked for it were very eloquent, and DNR has not given much of a response as to why. They're just not going to. They're talking about educating farmers. You know, Matt, I would never claim that I have a deep rural background, but I went to a rural school in first grade, and I had to help Farmer Morse on his chores before I caught the half-hour bus ride to school. Farmer Morse really was an independent provider that might have applied to that article. It was just Farmer Morse. He could make a decision. That is hardly ever the case. But when I read the article, I'm thinking of Farmer Morse. And in reality, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Monsanto.
Well, and here's the other thing that the Journal Sentinel actually, and again, it's what's not said. The one guy on the Republican side who like even seems to care about this is good old Robert Calls. He's always sort of been the lone standout who will listen to like real people who are struggling with stuff, has been completely unable to move his caucus on any of this. And the article reveals that like the weak stuff he's even tried to push has gone nowhere. But you can hear his quote. First of all, he's not running again, and I'm sure this is a wonderful issue for the frustration that a guy like Cowles probably experiences. He basically says that his colleagues, Republican colleagues, need to educate themselves and figure out what's going on. And he makes a comment about like how all he's trying to do is figure out how people who are actually having to drink this shit deal with it, right? Like he's failed. Like Cowles hasn't been able to do that, but like he says a lot in his quotes about just like how bad it is, like and it gets nowhere in the Republican legislature. And Robert mentioned the Evers, you know, in the DNR administration just appears to be like duck and cover. We're going to do the best we can. But, you know, so it's very frustrating. And it just screams why we have to win these races, win as many, and not just any old Democrat, right? We need Democrats who are going to understand that it's big agriculture, often the Farm Bureau, right? That is standing against us. And we need to like represent and speak for the people and for our water, right? Like,
I just remember, I won't name names because I'm going to even get the district wrong if I do, that we were involved cycle before last, couple cycles ago, in a primary where the mainline Democrats were excited. They had a Farm Bureau
that
candidate.
That was Jeff Smith's original opponent when he ran for state Senate, because a lot of the mainline Democrats didn't think he, quote, would run a campaign capable of winning that seat. Well, he cleaned the clock of that Farm Bureau guy. That's all I remember. And Jeff has always been someone who understands these issues. That's the pathway to winning, and full-throatedly speaking to it, right? And now we have an opportunity to elect enough folks who can change the dynamic, even if we don't get full control of that legislature. If it could be close and we could elect a dozen super progressive Democrats to change the way that caucus operates in opposition, things could be done, folks. Really important. Folks, you're listening to Battleground Wisconsin with Citizen Action. Welcome back to the Battleground Wisconsin. Robert, I got another issue with why this legislature needs to be tossed out on its ear and why we need progressive Democrats to be stepping up and running for some of these state assembly seats. Robert, this week, it's official. We are not, the limited effort that our government has been able to generate for opioid treatment is being blocked anonymously by a Republican member of joint. Well, they didn't say it, but please. It's a Republican member of joint finance. Yet another reason, folks. This is a wildly unpopular legislature. Robert, I mean, what? Why? And anonymously? Okay. I need help. Other than they suck.
Well, there was a book, a tell-all kind of book about the Clinton administration back in the day that was called Anonymous. So is Anonymous now in the legislature from an anonymous district representing anonymous voters? This is all you need to know about democracy in the state legislature. And you know, these kind of procedures where committees aggregate to themselves all sorts of Herculean powers, goes back in Congress and legislatures, but it's not kosher. It's undemocratic, and God knows on whose behalf they are doing it. They can't even like follow the money and look at campaign contributions because you don't know who it is. But here's the thing, right? When you have a gerrymandered legislature and you have a party that now will rely on propaganda and lies, just make it up as they go along, it doesn't matter as long as people adhere to that group, and group identity is what controls voting much more than processing issues. So the only solution to this kind of problem is our side building enough power with enough people voting, enough people volunteering to talk to enough people to change this and to elect people who will not tolerate it or allow it. Otherwise, so really, the way to view this is a symptom of our broken democracy. And that's not just because there are unethical actors. It's because our democracy is not vibrant enough, not enough people are involved and doing enough. Very simple.
People, I'm a broken record on this because I can't think of anything more important that every one of us listening to the show can be doing than reaching out in the next week to people who are making challenging decisions right now, whether to jump in to critical state legislative seats. And there are still a ton of people trying to make those decisions because the nomination signatures are not due, I believe, till June 3rd, right? And so it's very easy for people, especially if you're well-organized, to get those signatures fairly efficiently. So there's still folks trying to make those decisions, right? Because they got well over a month. They need to hear from you. They're trying to make very challenging calculations, right? Many of them, can I take on, you know, is there going to be a Dem primary where I'm going to be up against maybe a big spending anointed candidate, right? But they need to hear from you. I can tell you, I've made a lot of calls in the last few weeks to people that, you know, it's just as simple as me letting them know that I think they got this. And I think they are the leaders we need. And I believe in them. It may not mean anything, but they need to hear that because these are very challenging decisions. And the other folks are hearing from the connected moneyed folks. So please reach out. I want to just say, There's a lot of really good people who have announced already for state assembly in particular. And I've already said many times there's at least a dozen seats that we have the opportunity to put real progressive folks in. And I cannot begin to tell you what it would mean. So, like, it means a lot that there are folks like Tara Johnson who have stepped up to run in the La Crosse area. Christian Phelps running for a swing, maybe even slightly Republican seat up in the Chippewa Menominee area. Hayden Berg running for a new Dem seat in the Eau Claire area. Angelina Cruz, shout out to Angelina, president of the Racine Educators Association, stepping up and running in that area in the 62nd. What an amazing person to potentially put that voice in there. There might have been a slightly different debate about public funding or giving money away to the Brewers Stadium, because that union opposed that money, the Racine Educators, just to give you an idea. There's other folks. Ahmad Rivera-Wagner up in Green Bay. Great, good progressive, works with the mayor. Kyle Flood down in Kenosha, an activist down in that community, who's been super involved in fighting for what makes us actually safe. Nate Kiso, labor guy running in West Dallas area. Rick Banks, longtime community organizer. Here he's running. Brandon Williford, he's within our shop. Wonderful. There's some great people running that have already stepped up, but there's a lot more seats out there. There's a lot more where there are still potentials and they need to hear from you. Please do that. I'll just give you one name. I love the hell out of me some Darren Madison. I hope he makes the decision to run. I know he's thinking about it. It's a very challenging decision. He's a, you know, young, great, great young leader. This is another guy probably should hear from you if you think, and if you would go out and help him, right? That helps make a decision. So folks, you got your folks. I know you know them who you think would be great. Make sure they hear from you. And if it's someone who's already announced and you think they're damn good, please call them, let them know, tell them you'll get involved. Reach out to us, right? We're going to be super involved in helping get folks elected. Critical opportunity. I can't talk enough about this. So that's the end of that. And again, every time we talk about how dysfunctional the state legislature is, just remember that. And real people can make the difference. Robert, I want to switch gears because we've been focused here a lot on very specifically state stuff, but I want to talk to you about Donald Trump. It's been kind of surreal the last week or so with the trials, the photos of him just in the trial in New York. Today, the Supreme Court case. We got Florida, or excuse me, we got Arizona, which broke yesterday. And I want you to tell our listeners just a little bit more, make sure they understand exactly what happened in Arizona. But look, we've talked about this before. Same shit went down here in Wisconsin. It begs the question, you know, what's happening here in Wisconsin around the fake electors and around President Trump? Robert, what went down in Arizona and what makes that important and relevant?
So we know what happened with the fake electors. They falsified documents claiming that they won the state, that they were the designated electors, and then sent them to the Congress and to the National Archives as stipulated by procedure. And so it's no different than saying, you know, I own this bank account or I own this land when I don't, and forging documents saying you do. What's fascinating is there have been some prosecutions, not others. The whole conspiracy started in Wisconsin. A lawyer named Kenneth Cheeseborough came up with the Wisconsin memo. Then they go, oh, we can do this in all the battleground states. So he wrote a version for all the other states. He is not indicted in Arizona, which has led the Washington Post, looking at everything and who the unindicted co-conspirators are, to speculate that he is, shall we say, cooperating with the attorney general. But four states have acted. Kudos to Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and now Arizona. And Arizona, it's coming later because they had a Republican AG. When it was referred to him, he supposedly threw it in the garbage. Then a Democratic AG was elected to in the last election, and she started an investigation right away because she said, and this is what she said yesterday, that she wants to make it clear that it is not allowed, it will not be, we will not stand for people trying to steal the Arizona election. So Matt, that begs the question. Apparently we will stand, from everything we know publicly, for it to be stolen in Wisconsin, when Wisconsin is the place where this whole national conspiracy started in the first place.
Yeah, look, I find the situation frustrating. We've talked about it. It's more than frustrating. It's angry. I'm angry about it. Like, I don't get it. But we have talked about this multiple times over the last 2 years. And it's just been a series of, for a while, it was just wait. Like, we're waiting for others to act. And, you know, and now we've got four states that have acted. There's multiple things moving, and it's crickets here. You raise a good point, Robert. We will continue to watch this track and hope that there'll be more. Robert, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to close the show with a discussion of what's happening to our south in Chicago around the effort to rebuild Soldier Field, build a new facility for the Bears, and some of the lessons or implications based on what we just experienced here in Wisconsin with the Brewers Stadium. But also, let's not forget, the Green Bay Packers are angling for more money. You're listening to The Battleground Wisconsin, where Citizen Action, you can find us at citizenactionwi.org. Welcome back to The Battleground Wisconsin. Robert, the Bears this week unveiled a $4.2 billion public shakedown. And by the way, Robert wants me to add that this is on top of the White Sox shakedown of $2 billion.
Yes, and they're dueling and both trying to get in front of the line for the
yes. So, Robert, we have come out clearly. We do not like the use of public money for this. We think it's absurd. We think there actually ought to be public ownership if there's going to be public money. But we understand we're worlds away, unfortunately, from that glorious world. But a world that is actually very realistic is, you nail down everything. If there's public money, you make sure that there are significant public benefits, community benefits, from both the kinds of jobs that are in the construction, the aftermarket jobs, making sure those are good jobs. What's it doing for the surrounding spaces? Is it creating better benefits? Is it creating better neighborhoods and communities with the investment? Those are all really important parts of a public angle. Robert, the Bears, interesting situation. We have a new, very progressive mayor, Brandon Johnson. What's going on? It's unclear at this time. We hear that there's going to now potentially be a rebuild of the stadium right along the lakefront. Robert, what's going on? What are the lessons for us here in Wisconsin, or from Wisconsin to those folks in
what
Chicago?
What we can teach as a negative lesson to Illinois. So this has been, what's interesting is the political environment is extremely different. We know and that's what we need to really look inside ourselves within the Democratic coalition here in Wisconsin, because Governor Pritzker has shown no public support, is cynical about both of these huge multi-billion dollar proposals to give public money to billionaires. The legislature, it's very unclear. In Wisconsin, the governor and Robin Voss worked hand in glove to force it through without, even when it was unpopular. And the deal we got, we paid for almost all of it and took all of the risk and the cost, and they get all the benefits. And it's an owner that's gaining $200 million a year in his assets because of the value of a Major League Baseball team, Mark Antanasian. So when you look at this, the Bears, the history is interesting. They first bought a bunch of land in Arlington Heights. They bought a racetrack, Arlington Heights racetrack, and they were going to do it themselves a la LA. And then they couldn't get all the property tax relief they wanted. They didn't want to pay for all the schools in those suburban areas. So now they've pivoted to Chicago. And then, again, yesterday, They want those big dress, you know, full dress press conferences with really attractive conceptuals, you know, drafts and illustrations of what this beautiful dome stadium will look like and all the things around it and everything else. But what's interesting, Matt, is that their opening offer, and they don't have the governor or the legislature, and they need them, is half of it. They're going to pay 2.3 of the 4 point whatever it is billion, and probably they're willing to put more in than that. That is in stark contrast, their opening bid, to what the Brewers got. White Sox are only trying to put in 200 million of the 2.2 billion. That sounds a lot like Mark Antanasian. But they are threatening to move. Really, the Bears are the question, is whether they're in the suburbs or on the lake. That seems to be the question. But you're right. The interesting thing is Brandon Johnson, the new mayor, understands that you can negotiate strong community benefits that make any investment worth it if they're big enough. But what the standard has to be, that they are bigger than what we could do with some other use of the money. And therefore, they help average people, which Chicago has the same housing crisis we do, has a lot of very low-income people. And so the devil being the tails, but Brandon Johnson did stand on the podium with the very effective president of the Bears, the former Big Ten commissioner, who is one slick operator and front person, and he's also African-American. So it looks like he and Brandon Johnson are working together. Hopefully, Brandon is getting enough, but he can't even decide on his own. Ultimately, Governor Pritzker and the legislature have to move, and you have to deal with the fact that the White Sox are trying to angle their way in for another couple billion. So what's 4 billion in public money between the two projects, between friends, Matt?
Look, this stuff is all gross, and it's a byproduct of, you know, this really messed up political system where power is deeply in the hands of the powerful, and that has not diminished at all. And it's even worse with these sports teams, right? Because look, I started the show by telling you I'm excited to go to the Yankees Brewers game, right? I love baseball. It's like it reminds me of my family, my mother, you know, it's so deeply ingrained. My kids played Little League. My kids played Little League, Robert and his brother Ted. We used to hang out for years watching our kids play Little League baseball, and all this. It's tied up in that. And that's one of the many reasons why they're able to completely manipulate us and get this money, in addition to just the pure political power and the lies about how this stuff actually benefits regular people. It doesn't. I mean, it benefits me because I like the Brewers, but you know, it's just, it's gross. It's gross that this is how our money is being spent when we know there are serious needs, you know, both in terms of public education, childcare, healthcare, a whole bunch of things that really it's a misuse of the money. But Robert, I appreciate you. Yeah.
Let me add that since these are more public, these are great learning moments if we organize well against it. And we darn tried with the Brewers, sat 7 hours, you know, to be heard at the end after every single brewer and business shill for this. The people who claim to know the economy went up and lied through their teeth about the benefits, because the research is overwhelming. There's a consensus of studies over 30 years that shows there is no community benefit to these projects. Naturally, the only way you could possibly have them is to build them in a very stipulated fashion, like exactly this many jobs that are permanent, that are high wage jobs instead of shitty social service jobs. But anyway, the whole economic development sphere, which has become the job creation and the economic vehicle for state and local government, is corrupt this way. So this is a window into something. We're being cheated every time you see the building cranes and you see the fancy new apartment building. You really should be wondering what the developer got and whether the people are getting enough in return for what was given. Because folks, and there's so many different financing ways to move the money. It's not necessarily a direct expenditure.
Look, people, we are going to continue to talk about this topic because of the situation up in Green Bay. We're going to continue to find out more and get involved in that. But if you don't know, the Packers are trying to renegotiate their, I believe it's a lease with the city, and they want about the equivalent of about $40 million more than what they currently have committed to. And I think they still have like 9 years on that contract at least. So we will talk more about that because it has a lot of the same implications that we just talked about. Folks, we're going to wrap this show up. Again, want to remind you, please join us in Eau Claire next Tuesday, 6 p.m. It is our last opportunity to see this great 40th event show. Really hope you can get out. Again, we got a DJ. Going to be a great time. Please.
The Coven, right? It's called
the Yes, Coven. The Coven in Eau Claire. Please get out, join us. We look forward to seeing you. Want to thank our producer, Brian Wildridge, who makes the show happen every week. We really appreciate you, Brian. With that, we're going to end the show, and we'll see you in Eau Claire, and we'll see you next week here at the Battleground, Wisconsin.